Welcome to the Student of the Game Fire Podcast with your host, Danny B. Today's guest is Tim McCluskey, 20 plus years of volunteer and career experience, a firefighter slash backup engineer on Ladder 301 for St. Andrews Fire Department in South Carolina. Tim is no stranger to the fire service as his family line runs deep with firefighters. He entered the service at 14 and never looked back. His experience and journey is why I want to share, continue, and feel very, very fortunate that I'm able to listen and speak to others about why the fire service is the greatest job in the world. No profession is perfect, but what matters is what you do in the face of adversity to set yourself apart from the others. With that, I present Mr. Tim McCluskey.
My name's Tim McCluskey. You know, I'm currently 37 years old, and I got started in the suburbs of Philadelphia at the age of 14. Departments around there, they allow junior members to join at the age of 14. You start getting your classes. You start learning all the little stuff that people learn in recruit school, like the rolling of the hose, the throwing of ladders, you know, a lot of the exterior stuff. I was able to start knocking out a bunch of classes. And then next thing I know, I'm now 37, living in South Carolina. And I made my way down the East Coast. Now my family, my dad, my brothers, my uncles, they were all involved in the fire service, in the suburbs of Philly, Montgomery County, PA. And so I didn't even want to get into fire service, but like a lot of people in high school, I wasn't doing the best. I was getting in trouble. So they're like, hey, let's try and keep you busy. So that's where it all started. And the next thing I knew, I started hearing about this place, Prince George's County. I graduated high school, and shortly after high school, I moved to PG County. And I was a live-in fireman at the Blaineburg Volunteer Fire Department, Company 9, for about a year, year and a half. After that, I was like, I'm here to go to fires. I'm here to be first arriving on fires. I'm going to move up the street. So I moved up the street to the Kentland Volunteer Fire Department. I moved in there in August of 08, became an official member in September, and then I lived there until about March of 2015. My time there, you know, I rose through the ranks pretty quickly. The highest rank I was a lieutenant. You know, we had first active men, we had sergeants, lieutenants, captains. Now, Kentland, that was something unique, you know. All volunteer department in a very busy metropolitan area. I never really left the firehouse, and I had some really good times there. I had some really bad times. You know, I'm quite honest with everyone is, you know, being there all the time. I didn't really have a job. You know, we had about 17 guys living at the firehouse on average. Most of them were career firemen. So we always needed at least four guys at the firehouse every day. And because I wasn't a career fireman, I was there pretty much all the time. I'd pick up some daytime jobs working, you know, at like Safe Light Auto Glass, Dish Network, just about anywhere I could to make some money. But I'd hear, hey, we might not have four tomorrow. I'd be like, all right, that's fine. I'll pull out work. You know, it wasn't the smartest thing. But I was immature in that sense of working. But I'd call out about 9, 10 o'clock in the morning. We'd have like two crews show up. I'd be mad because I could have went to work. But then we'd go to a fire. And, you know, I was living in a firehouse to get a fire. So that's all I cared about. And so that was just, you know, what happened while living at the firehouse. You know, I did become an alcoholic. You know, once a week I would end up, you know, just trying to get drunk, blackout drunk, because of that's what I knew. You know, I didn't have any family down there. It's just me living in a firehouse with a bunch of guys. We're going on a bunch of calls, seeing a handful of messed up stuff. And we're all younger, right? Early 20s. what are you going to do? Well, we'll go up street to University of Maryland College Park, and we'll get together with other guys and other firehouses, and we're just going to have a good time. And that took me down the rabbit hole of becoming an alcoholic and all that. And so, in March of 2015, my girlfriend at the time was like, "Hey, man, you need to grow up. You need to get out of the firehouse. I'm moving to South Carolina. I think it's best that you move with me." So I did, and I became a career firefighter with the City of Conway Fire Department, which is about 30 minutes west of Myrtle Beach. I was volunteering with Horry County, worked there for about just shy of 3 years. Then I became career with Horry County. Then my dad got sick with ALS. So my wife, my child, and I, we moved back to Pennsylvania to my parents' house to help out around the house with my mom, my dad. And I started working for the Pottstown Fire Department, which is about 45 minutes northwest of Philly. I worked full time there on a 24/48 schedule, making about $11.50 an hour with excellent benefits, though. But it was a cool town. It was very unique response model. You had four volunteer corporations, and each volunteer corporation had one career driver on the 24/48, and volunteers would show up on the scenes. So at 4 o'clock in the morning, if you're going out for a structure fire, you could have just four guys going, and volunteers are going to get there when they get there. And then once my dad passed, my mom said, "Go back to where you were established." We moved back to South Carolina, continued working with Horry County. And then, mental health is a very big thing that I believe in, and taking care of your people and your family is number one before any department anywhere. And so, my wife was dealing with some things. So we moved to where she was from back in Southern Maryland. We were there for about 2 years. She was able to handle. Get everything straightened out. And then we moved back to South Carolina because we love the South. We love the ways of the South. It's a great area for our kids to grow up. Being 20, 30 minutes from the beach is wonderful. My kids are there right now. And then I was working for Horry County, but I most recently went to the St. Andrews Fire Department in the Charleston area. I went down there because of the culture of the Low Country. It's something I'm more used to with being brainwashed with the PG County way, the DC Metro way of, companies all on top of each other having SOGs that are very strict. When companies arrive, they know what they're doing. It's very SOG driven, not incident command driven. And it's fun. It's a lot of fun, and that's where I'm at now. And I'm a I'm a firefighter, backup engineer. Becoming a backup engineer, that's a 3% raise in our department. But it's not about the money, it's about doing the damn job.
All right. Lot to unpack there. First off, and I don't mean that in a bad way at all, at all. But first off, I appreciate you coming on, accepting the invite to come and talk shop. Secondly, I appreciate you being very open with your life experiences, because that's one thing I want to definitely discuss, because to me, the fire service is the greatest thing in the world. The fire service, I know what it's done for me. It's kept me out of trouble. It kept me busy. It kept me around solid people, solid mentors, solid OG firemen. But the flip side of that, if you let that love and that passion of the fire service get control of you, it could do things where you forget, like actual family members going down the path like you did with alcohol and things of that nature. So what I want people to understand is there's got to be a balance there. And trust me, I haven't been in your shoes, but I've been in that situation where all I did was live in the firehouse. Like when I was single and I moved out of my parents' house, bro, I purchased a townhome across the street from my volunteer fire department. I was there all the damn time. Like my social life, What fucking social life? I was at the firehouse. To me, chilling at the firehouse, even if I did it by myself on weekends and shit, that's what I wanted to do. It's the love for the job, man. But like I said, I appreciate you opening up about that very much so. But I'm gonna kind of backtrack a little bit. So technically, what generation firefighter are you? Because you have, it seems like you have a lot in family.
I don't know. I don't know.
Well, because
Second. I think
you
second.
second.
I think so.
Okay.
Yeah, my grandfathers were gone long before. I'm pretty sure my oldest brother, well, my two older brothers, myself, you know. Yeah.
Okay.
Had no idea about that really, except that, military background. But aside from that, actual fire service, and I knew my dad, my uncles, pretty much every single one of them, which would be five of them.
Okay.
Well, four. One's blind, so
Okay.
I don't think he can. He might do good inside of a fire, but that's about it.
All right. So I'm gonna fast forward a little bit. All right, so you started up in Philly, and then you heard about a little area in the country called PG County. You rotate that way, you gravitate that way. You started with Bladensburg. So with that being said, both departments, I know individuals in both departments, and from what I can see, very culturally driven, like we play no games here. We're going to drill, we're going to train because that's our job. Like when PSC hits those tones for Bladensburg or 33, the citizens expect professionals. Web they don't care, career, volunteer, PG's all mixed. And so with that being said, what was that like to see, like, hey, you want to be a part of this organization? This is how it's going to be.
I was awesome, man, because everything that is done there is done for a reason, and there's a why behind it. It's not the age old, because this is the way we do it. Listen, there's a book out there called Good to Great by Jim Collins, right? And he takes all these big companies, and one ex does extremely well and continues on, like Walgreens and stuff. But then he pairs it up with another business. Now, Walgreens and Blockbuster don't mesh, but let's look at Blockbuster, right? Blockbuster was their King Kong, right? They dominated everything. They had the opportunity to own Netflix. They had the opportunity, but they said, no, this is the way we do things. This has worked this entire time. We don't need you, Netflix. Well, let's look, what, 15 years later, 20 years later, how many blockbusters are there, and what's raining?
Right.
Netflix is raining. Why? Because Blockbuster did not want to adapt to the times, and they just said, this is the way we've always done it, and they ended up failing. Now, these volunteer corporations, it's, oh, well, this is the way we always done it. Yeah, we don't care if, this department has the same type of staffing or less staffing, but they operate a lot better and smoother, right? We are who we are. This is where we're from. We kiss. We keep it simple, stupid. That's it. End of story. Citizens care about when they call 911, people show up quickly and efficiently and do the damn job. They'll know the volunteer corporation down the street, but that doesn't mean that like they're your best friend. They're relying on you to show up and just do the damn job. They expect SEAL Team 6 to show up if they have a fire. And what was ingrained in my head very early on was that you have to expect every time you go out the door, it is the worst call of your career until you deem it otherwise, right? You have to expect the absolute worst. You have to expect a mother meeting you in the street at 3 a.m. stating that her babies are trapped inside. You have to expect that. And so that shift from the suburbs of Philly to, PG County and the whole, DC metro area was like, yo, we're about to do shit. We have a chance of going to a fire in 3 minutes. We have to be able to perform to the best of our ability right then and there. So we're going to train. We're going to get out the door quick because we're going to control what we can control. We can't control the traffic, the pedestrians, nothing like that. So if we get out the door quick, that's saving time that we know that we can save. Therefore, when you arrive on scene, being quick and efficient at your job, Nick Martin posted running on a fire ground the other day, right? But if you listen to it, it's not about just jumping off and sprinting. It's about knowing your job and doing your job as quickly as you can, right? That doesn't mean you just jump off and sprint, but by getting reps in and more reps, speed comes with that. Just like playing any sport, throwing a baseball, right? Throwing a baseball, you go through the mechanics of it and you start throwing and you start really learning the mechanics. And over time, you're able to field a ball quickly or grab a fly ball and you're already doing your hop as you're catching the ball and you're transitioning the ball to your hand, right? So it's all one fluid motion. But that fluid motion needs to be transitioned to the fire service because at the same time, we are the professional showing up, whether you're a career volunteer, people see us as the fire service. Does not matter. Does not matter. People see us as the fire service. And we are the professionals. And we need to operate and perform like we're professionals. Welcome to the pros. We're not in middle school or high school ball anymore. We're the pros. They're training every day, right? Being from Philly, I love the Phillies. JT Realmuto is the catcher, right? All-star catcher. He works out immediately after a baseball game. He doesn't really do the interviews till after he gets done the game, he goes into the locker room and he goes and works out, right? That's what he sees of himself. That's how professional sports players see themselves. Of cool, we just did this one thing. Well, now it's in the past. Doesn't matter if it happened 5 minutes ago, it's in the past. We have to perform and get ready for what's next. And so that's what PG County as a whole really beat into my head.
And me, my opinion, looking in, I don't see nothing wrong with that. I don't see why we don't have more organizations and more personnel to think like that, especially the personnel. Like if you are a company officer and you don't at least take an hour or two out of your day on shift to do something to get better, then why are you a company officer? Like it's one of those things. I just can't understand it, and I'm not sure if it's because it's the fire service, but like we are called on unfortunate events. I can't see how training for those unfortunate events, like why they don't go hand in hand, why it's such a pain in the ass, or it's, oh, we got to go do company drills today. Oh, I don't want to do, why do we have to pull hose? Like I just never understood why we have individuals that are, like that out there.
Here you go, right? So it's all about creating habits, right? When you create habits, you're able to operate more fluidly. So I talked about, oh, what if the mother meets you at 3 o'clock in the morning saying, well, that actually happened to me, right? It was the 8400 block of Leslie Avenue in the Glen Arms section of Prince George County. All right. We get dispatched for a fire. We run two crews out of Kentland. The wagon and the rescue engine running as a pumper. We lay out at the corner. We pull up. I got fire showing from a one-story single-family dwelling. Cool. The two guys on the back step are early 20s. One might be only 20. The other one might be 22. But I see something move out of the corner of my eye. Now it's February in Maryland, and it's usually icy and cold and miserable, right? It's 3 o'clock in the morning. This woman is butt naked, meets me in the street, screaming about her baby's trapped inside. All right. I say we get reported one trapped. Now I say one trapped. That's where I messed up. I'm all about accountability, but whether one trapped or 10 trapped does not matter. You still have to operate, right? So I radio, got reports of one trapped. Our line's already stretched. It's getting charged. And we're in the front door in a timely manner. Fire met us at the front door. Lineman starts making work of it. I search off and I locate, the father in the hallway. The backup guy on the wagon helps me drag him out. The rescue engine comes up. The officer's like, "Where are they?" I point to the one side of the house. Kane goes in, locates a child, brings him out. I go back in, locate another child, bring him out. Truck 9 ended up getting there, and this Nooner, who's now with Kentland, he finds the baby in the back bedroom, brings it out. We had the fire knocked down and four victims removed in 7 minutes. All right. No reports of entrapment prior to us getting there, nothing. But it's because of the mindset, it's because of having habits, pulling lines every day. We honestly did not have to really change anything we do. Especially if you look at the general orders, which is what PG County calls them, which are the SOPs for the standard fireground operations. Even as an engine company, you're searching the immediate areas that you're operating in. Now, ports of entrapment, break off that a little bit, but we didn't really have to change anything. Everyone knew their job, and because we're pulling lines every day, it's not, a football game. Hey, we're going to try this new play out in the middle of a game. It's like we haven't even practiced it. No, that's not it at all. You're going to create the habit, and you're always going to lay lines. You're going to pull lines. You're going to move quickly and efficiently each and every time, because when that screwed up call happens, you're ready for it. You don't have to really change up. You're not really hesitating as to what's going to happen.
I like it. I understand it. I mean, I really do. And this is coming from, I've never been a part of any PG organization. I've done a ride along. I do talk to people. I do read things. I'm fortunate where I have an individual right now who's a PG County chief, and he sends me things to read. Like one thing that I found very informative that, I hope I don't know about all departments, but I'm sure some do it. AARs, after action reports, where they talk about conditions. This is what occurred. This is what could be fixed for the next time. Like those are, we need things like that. It's like studying film. After a fire, you get together, you talk about what you can do, what you did, what you can improve on, and have the humbleness to go, hey, I messed up. I fucked up on this. I'm gonna work on this to be better. That's why for me, when I go to work, I continually pull ladders, throw ladders, find different ways that I can save time and it's effective for me. And yeah, some people might not understand, like, well, if you can throw a ladder, you can throw a ladder. I mean, that's like saying baseball players and football players don't, like, quarterbacks still throw, practice throwing, wide receivers study routes. So why not? I mean, I don't know, maybe it's just me, but I just have a hard time of figuring out when people just they'll come outside and watch you do things and then just stand there watching you and then they go back inside. But then the part that really irritates me is when they fuck up, there's always a bullshit excuse right after it. Oh, my hands was a little sweaty with the gloves. I had a hard time getting my gloves on, or my hood got caught up. And it's like, if you continually practice this, the chance of having a hiccup, they keep continually go down, down,
We're
down, where
down.
you don't have
But
that.
and at the end of the day, we are all human, right? End of
Correct.
the day, we are all human. But for the people that are going out there each and every day, if they mess up, they are generally the humble ones that will do the hands up accountability. They'll be like, "Yo, I messed up. I tripped, it slipped out of my hand, something. I messed up, but that's why I'm out here doing this because I am not perfect. We strive for perfection. Perfection is something that no one will ever be able to obtain, but we're going to try our damnedest to get there, right? And
Absolutely.
so, for the ones that are sitting back and not getting out there, that's on them. Now, it's about creating the environment in the firehouse and stuff, like turning the TV off. Or if you're gonna have TV on, have fucking fire videos playing the entire time, right? But then that keeps people's mind engaged. And who cares if it's a fire out in California or San Bernardino? They put a lot of good videos out in Stockton about, what each crew is doing and why they're doing it. And just having stuff like that on, it gets their mind engaged. And the cool, they might be playing on their phone or whatever, sitting in the day room or the kitchen, but it's still in the background. And then they're going to peek up, then they're going to start watching. And if you do it every single day, it will create that culture that everyone strives for.
But I will say though, there's probably a time where you can try that and some people still just won't get it.
Oh,
And
for sure.
you know what I mean? And that's where it's like, to me, that's when it's like, all right, I've done all I can do. We're all grown adults. I'm gonna break off this branch and I'm gonna do my own thing.
Yeah, you can try to hold hands, but like you said, we're all fucking adults, right? I'm only going to hold your hand long enough. Then it breaks off, and I know that you're not going to be able to do the job. I know I'm going to be able to do the job to the best of my ability. End of story. I'm just going to keep getting after it. You can be a lazy piece of shit. End of story. If you're already a lazy piece of shit, everyone already knows that you're a lazy piece of shit. So cool. I was maybe here to try and unfuck that, but you can only unfuck so many things.
That's a damn fact. That's a fact. Okay. All right. So you're young, you're around those people. Can you tell us like, well, I say tell us, but it's really I'm gonna be selfish. It's mainly for me. Like, what was that like, man, when you're around people of that caliber? And I'm not trying to put them on a pedestal, but like these are people you want to emulate. What you want, what you aspire to be like on the fireground.
Shut up. Listen. Right? Sit there. Sit there in the day room. Everyone, especially younger, right? You want to show that you're being busy. You want to make sure the dishes are done or the trash is taken out. But stop. Grab a cup of coffee. Make sure everyone has coffee. Grab some water. Sit down. Sit down at the table with them. Don't sit right up on a table like you're going to say something. Nah, sit back a little bit, right? Sit back and just listen. And listen. And listen. Something might come up to where it can be a little open and you can have a question. But don't be the first one to speak. If you're the first one to speak, you're fucking up. Like, sit back and you have to just listen. When I moved to Southern Maryland, I worked for a department about 2.5 hours away from the house. And in the bay one day, we're talking about the one engine and how it's got only two pack seats in the back, and the other two packs for the other two seats are in a compartment. And this older dude always talked about, yeah, but if a structure fire came out, I would just grab the pack out of the compartment, throw it in the cab, and go. Like, now to me, I listened to that. I was like, oh, I could do that? He's like, yeah, why not? No shit. Next shift or that night or whatever, we run a fucking crank at fire. And I'm on that first rig. I'm in a fold down seat. We got six on the engine. And when I jumped in the back, a younger dude that's been with the department longer than me was like, what the fuck? I'm like, here, hold this real quick. And then I get in, throw the fucking pack on. He just looked at me the entire time. But because I would shut the fuck up and listen, I picked something up from an older guy and I put it to use. like 20 within the last 24 hours or 72 hours, you know? But to really take stuff in, you know, I tell a cheat to everyone that goes to Kentland, right? You have to, there's a lot to do as a newer member. But one of the things you have to do is you have to learn the first alarm area, right? You have to learn our box area. And then you have to start learning the areas outside because you need to know our response area. Now, yeah, we have our first do, but we run all over the place. So, you know, your main roads, your secondary roads, your tertiary roads, you know, through other first dues far away, you need to know that stuff. So as you're learning, grab a map book, a notepad, and sit down at the day room table. Sit down, chill, have the TV in front of you. Look up, relax a little bit, but then study your area, right? What happens? Well, other people will come in. You're in their vision. So they see you studying. And then they'll start talking to you about different running routes. And running routes are huge, right? Knowing that this one road will cut you through rather than going two blocks down, like that's huge. And sitting there each and every day, writing out running routes from the station to this street, put you in front of everybody. You hear all the conversations going on. And when you're sitting there and you're writing out, say, I got some running routes right here, but you're writing out the running route and they're talking about something, they're not going to be mad at you if you sit back and you listen. And you're listening to what they're saying. Cool. That conversation tails off. All right. Well, here, let me go back to my running routes. And you write it down. Now you're studying, you're being proactive. The members see you actively trying to get better, and you're listening into all the conversations. Like, so it's a win-win, right? So, but the biggest thing is when you get around people, don't be in the forefront, be in the background, but be there and be present. Put your phone on silent. When I say on silent, like the do not disturb. You don't need your phone going off. Many of us are just looking at our phones just because it's habit, right? And it's just like, oh, did I feel vibrate? Oh, no, I didn't. Oh, here, let me check. Oh, I got a notification from Facebook. Oh, okay. Oh, someone liked the picture from 5 days ago. Cool. Oh, Snapchat. Oh, Snapchat. No, who cares? Put do not disturb on, hang out, and listen.
Solid advice. Solid advice. Yes, sir. All right. Let's see here where I want to take this. Screw it. All right, we're gonna go with question number two. In your opinion, I want to know, what does the term aggressive mean to you?
Aggressive. Well, if you look at back at let's see, 2013, 2014, the National Fallen Firefighter Foundation and Dave Statter did a video with Kentland about, you know, pretty much getting the line duty deaths under 100, but they also used the term aggressive in that, and we talked about how it is not a bad term. Aggressive is not about just pulling up and running on a fire ground. Aggressive starts in the firehouse, right? It's not about what we're doing on the scene. Now, what we do on the scene is all from the prep work prior to. So the way to be aggressive is you need to know your response area. You need to know the running routes quickly and efficiently, right? You need to know what roads take you where, what roads are the fastest, what road has speed bumps and what doesn't. You need to know all of that. What that sets you up for is to your response times and for you to arrive quicker. Now, it's not about speeding down the road, right? You have to operate with due regard, but by understanding all the aspects of it, you can operate with due regard, still get there in a timely fashion and do your job. Now, it again goes back to the prep work. Now that's the running route. Now we get there. We're the first arriving engine. We're laying a supply line. End of story. You control what you can control. One of the biggest issues with, bad things that happen on fire grounds is a messed up water supply. But if you're the first arriving engine and you put hose in the street, you're taking care of a lot of bad stuff right then and there. If you do it all the time, it creates a habit. And by creating habits and doing it all the time, you gain speed. And so now we knew where we were going. We lay that supply line. We deploy the line quickly and efficiently. And we're able to deploy quickly and efficiently because we pull lines every day. We pull lines and we position appropriately when we get called for an odor of smoke inside. We pull lines when we get called for a reported fire that they have smoke inside. By positioning appropriately on fire alarms, odor of smokes inside, report of fire inside, by positioning right, and then for the odor inside and for report of smoke inside by pulling a line, this is a legit call that you're positioning for, and now you're putting it all your skills to use. Cool. It might not be anything, but when else do you get to position at an actual structure, position appropriately, and pull lines? And it's okay. You know what the citizen's gonna say when you do that? They're gonna be like, damn, 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 no. You don't have to pull that in here, but then they're gonna be like, damn, they're ready. They are ready. And that's what matters. So then we also have to talk about the general orders or SOPs, SOGs. You got to know them inside and out. You need to know them better than your battalion chiefs, right? Any battalion chief. Because on a fire ground, when the officer gets called to the buggy and says, why don't you guys do this? And you're able to spell out the entire SOG or SOP. They're gonna be like, it doesn't say that, and you're like, well, actually, it does. And I said it on the radio that we checked the basement, we made our way up to the second floor, and you agreed to it. So it's not a aggressive. We get off and run, and we do whatever the hell we want. It's about loving the job enough that you are a complete student of it. You have to know your running routes. You have to know your operating procedures, the ins and outs of it. You need to be very proficient on running lines, throwing ladders, forcing doors, taking windows, VESing. You need to be so proficient in it so that when you show up and all the other companies are fiddle fucking around in the front yard, you're able to run right by them. And they're going to be like, oh, you guys are a bunch of cowboys. Listen, when shit's going bad, everyone wants the cowboys to show up. So that's the term. People will be like, oh, well, you're being over aggressive or whatever. Who cares? What we're doing is we're perfecting our craft to the best of our ability, and we're going to do everything we can for that citizen. I don't care what fire truck you're on. I don't care if you're a part of my department, you're not a part of my department. I don't care if you're a citizen in this city or this city or this town. That shit don't matter to me. What matters to me is us showing up when you call 911 because we are the 100% last line of defense when your house is on fire. Cops try to put out fires, but when shit's in the fan, they can't. And we are the only ones, whether volunteer, career, we are the only ones that can. We are the ones that go to all the schools and trainings and are certified to do this shit. So whether career or volunteer, you have to be able to perform. And so backtrack to what's aggressive. Well, it's a whole lot of things, right? But it all ties into one. And if you start in the firehouse building that culture, now what you're doing is it will then transition to fire grounds. But because you're doing all the prep work and you're moving with a purpose, and because you do all that prep work, you're moving with a purpose, it's going to be a lot quicker than other people moving with a purpose. That's the aggressive. And I am okay with it.
I am fucking okay with it. Man, that's none but facts, bro. I tell you, one thing that when you were speaking, man, I thought of, and it's one of those things that you like, I see it as we should take full potential of it. You get a fire alarm, right? One engine, one ladder response, whatever the case may be. It's a fire alarm. Engine gets there, advise, whatever sort of structure, how many stories, nothing showing, smoke showing, whatever. Let's just say nothing showing. Investigating. The ladder gets there. Me personally, I believe we own that fucking scene until we deem it false. Okay.
Right.
So why not, if the ladder gets there and the engine's still investigating, set up the truck into position, get the aerials, to get the aerial deployed, set out your outriggers. We own that scene. I could give two shits less if I'm going to impede traffic. Fuck traffic. This is my time to put in my skill to see where I can improve on. But when you do that, you have, unfortunately, we have some people, they just want to get there, confirm false, clear as soon as possible to get their gear off. Like, I can't stand people like that because that's the time where we should take advantage of. It's our scene. Let's run it like we do it. And the best person I saw to explain that was Chief Copperthwaite with Christiana Fire Department. He said it best. He's like, why am I going to? He's like, I know it could be false, but let them go through the motions. Let that newer person get that experience.
Even if you say, hey, you know what? We're going to go available and you're still going through the rep, like, cool, finish that rep out. Like, don't, like, be supportive of it. But it's a, you're getting busy, right? Cool. The engine. Hey, we're on scene, we're available. Like, false alarm, whatever. But that's not like, oh, we're just going to break right down and go. No, that doesn't mean that at all. I mean, it's just take us off that call, and now we're available to go to another, but we can still finish doing what we're doing. Just like being on a medical call, right? And you're sitting there helping the medic unit out. They don't really need your help. They're okay with you going available. So you clear the scene in service. But you stay there to help out. Like, you're positioned to where you can get out quickly if there's a call. Cool. Well, we're just going to hang out and help you out real quick. Get this person out. Now, if we get a call, hey, we're gone. But that's where you're still taking care of the people that are helping you out. And yeah, we're available. We're able to go to the next call. But that doesn't mean we just got to drop everything and leave.
I agree. I agree 100%. 100%, man. Okay. So, you mentioned earlier that you definitely explained you traveled back and forth from up north, down south, up north, down south. Now you stated you're with St. Andrew's Fire Department, and you absolutely love a general order SOP driven type culture. So the with you being on St. Andrew's, does it kind of remind you of the days back up north, like? With because I don't know anything about St. Andrews, so if you could
Yeah,
explain
so
this.
St. Andrews is in the West Ashley section of Charleston. They technically cover all the unincorporated areas of West Ashley, and the city of Charleston annexes all the areas around. So you'll have a St. Andrews Fire Department, and in between the St. Andrews Firehouse and another firehouse, you'll have a Charleston Firehouse, and it's all just about closest companies going to calls.
Okay.
For City of Charleston's ISO rating, we are a part of that as well, with our location and where the firehouses are, and vice versa.
Okay. And how many stations do you guys have? Because I don't really know.
We have four stations with five pieces of apparatus and a battalion chief. We staff three engine companies, a ladder, and a heavy rescue that's dry.
Okay. All
It's a
right.
good time.
So four stations and definitely. So pretty much there's no jurisdictional lines. It's closest unit dispatch, which it's how it should be, in my opinion, all over the United States, if available. Okay.
Yep, it's we're not too far from North Charleston. Our ladder truck is second to truck is I guess it'd be the east side or south side of North Charleston, closer to the city of Charleston. But if Tower 201's out of service, we end up becoming the first new truck to that end of North Charleston. So it's just all on location.
Okay.
Does not
Okay.
matter who is who.
And are you guys required to be basics, intermediates, paramedics? Just asking.
We're mostly EMTs.
Oh, EMTs. Okay.
Mostly.
Gotcha. Okay. And if a first due box comes into the area of St. Andrews, are you getting all four stations, or how does that work? No.
So I work out of 301, right? We
Okay.
have a ladder truck. It has a pump on it, and we have the heavy rescue and the battalion chief. 1.1 miles down the street is engine 111 from the city of Charleston. Engine 112 is another about mile the other way. Engine 116 is about a mile and a half the other way. Engine 303, which is ours, is on the other side of 116. Engine 302 is up the street from engine 111. So if it's right around our station, station 301, engine 111 will be there in no time. They get there quick. The way to get to our station is just one pretty much road. They make a right out of their station and left, and they're there. Yeah, so it's quick. It's
Okay.
definitely quick.
Okay. And with that being said, with the way the stations are placed, you see, like, everybody works in cohesion with each other, right? Doesn't matter the name on the fucking coat, doesn't matter the color of the truck, like, jobs get done.
Jobs are supposed to get done. Yes.
Okay. Okay. All
Um,
right.
yeah,
No, go
but
ahead.
you definitely, every department has their good people and their bad
Of
people.
course, absolutely.
It seems like there's more shit bags than there are people that love the job.
Yeah.
Some people, even on the rigs, want to do really good. Meanwhile, company officers or engineers want to be shit bags.
Yeah, it's
Where
everywhere.
that is, it's everywhere. We definitely have a good working relationship with many of the companies, and it doesn't really matter. For me, I just care about doing the job, just position appropriately. If you're first due engine and you're passing a hydrant, please lay a supply line. If there's no hydrant and you're passing an intersection, please lay out from that intersection and have the next company complete a support lay.
Okay. All right. This next question, it's of course, you're on based on your opinion, but with your background and your experience and who you were fortunate to listen to those conversations, have conversations with and train with, is it hard when you go to St. Andrews? Like, is it hard for you to hold back, or do you just pretty much kind of bring that same drive and passion down there? And then if somebody's like, if I'm your newest firefighter and I want to reciprocate that and want to do it, do you show that, or just do you just focus on doing you?
So, I've only been there 4 months,
Okay.
and when I went there, anywhere I went, yeah, I have my background and everything, but you're not going to know that till you've worked with me for a while,
Gotcha.
right? You can ask the guys I work with right now, even guys not on my shift. They'll come in the firehouse, they're like, "What are you doing? How do you study like that?" Because I'm studying the running routes, I'm studying the streets. I want to know all that. And they've never really seen someone write out all the running routes and then at the same time bringing index cards in and writing out the running routes on the index cards and learning the neighborhood, like why one neighborhood has all like World War One warplane names, right? So it's like, well, where do How do all these road names relate. So then get back, I write them all out, and then I start looking all of them up, and I realize, okay. And then by writing everything, right, it's about repetition, whether it's pulling lines or studying, it's about repetition. And so I start figuring it out. And a lot of people are like, how do you do this? And then, the late nights sitting around the table in the engine bay, people are like, so this is how you do it? Well, how else do you do it? How do you get someone to learn this stuff that they're really struggling? And the way I do it takes a lot of time. I'm not a smart guy. I'm pretty dumb, and I have to put a lot of work in for me to really remember stuff. But, being able to break it down and show them, it's not just me talking about it, right? People see what I'm doing. And then we start getting into other conversations, and then they start learning more about what I've done. And yeah, what I've done is awesome. It's fun. I don't regret any of it, but that's also the past, right? You're only so good with the past. Can you perform on this next fire? That's the main thing.
Yeah, I like that. I like that mindset. Yeah, I mean, we all know those guys, the guys and gals that live in the glory days. And it's like, hey, I'm not taking away from what you did back then. That's great. But it's called back then for a reason. It's not now. You know what I mean? And
And the cool thing was, when I first got there, people made some phone calls and stuff, and they're like, oh, we heard, you're a good dude, but you still gotta show up here. And I'm like, yeah, I'm all for it. Whether you call people or not, like, you're not gonna know I'm here, or you're gonna know I'm here because I'm gonna throw a ladder out there by myself. I'm gonna be studying. I'm gonna be studying the running routes. I'm gonna be studying the SOPs. I'm going to be studying all of it. Why? Because we could go to a fire in the next 3 minutes, and I want to be able to perform. I want to know where we're going. I want to know if we're the first due truck, like, what are our responsibilities? Is the rescue there? Are they pulling up at the same time? Like, that all plays a big part in it.
Definitely, definitely love it. Love the mindset. We need more individuals with that mindset. I mean, I really do. And it's one of those things, it's not saying like you need to be ate up. I'm not saying you need to be ate up, but when you're there, when you're being paid a salary, an hourly rate to be there, actually be present, be there.
Right.
It's just, to me, it's a simple concept, but for some, it's harder for some to understand and grasp that. And the way I look at it as, it's to me, it's especially more important if you hold rank, like what you do, other people are looking at you. So it's like, why not be a part of it instead of being by the wayside? But anyways.
Now, I did get brainwashed with that at Kentland, right? It's kind of instilled in me that when I was, always riding in charge of the wagon, I was in charge of the firehouse, right? And then I'd work other jobs where I'd be able to do my own personal job remote from the firehouse. So people would always come to me with, one thing or another, right? Hey, this needs to get done. And I'd be like, cool. And I made it a point that if I'm not doing anything that benefits the department right then and there, I'm going to get the hell up and I'm going to take care of it. Right? Because I'm working on something that has nothing to do with our firehouse. I'm going to get up, I'm going to go deal with it. If I'm working on something that is a part of the firehouse, I'm going to take a good look at what I'm doing. Cool. Do I need to get up and take care of this now? Hey, can you write this down for me? And send me a text message. And as soon as I'm done, I'll get up and take care of it. Or can I stop what I'm doing real quick to take care of it? But it took me a while to get to that, right? It wasn't that just learn this or anything. A lot of us are procrastinators, right? And it took me a while to learn my cheat around being a procrastinator, and that was one of the things. If someone comes to me with something that deals with the firehouse right then and there, I drop what the hell I'm doing and I do it then. And they're like, oh no, it doesn't need to get done for another day or two. Like, screw that. If I don't do it right now, I'm probably not going to do it, and you're going to get mad at me. So.
I like it. I like it. And one thing I want to clarify, I'm not trying to say like you can't do other stuff. I mean, some of
Right.
us work 24, 48 hours. There's plenty of time if you need to get other stuff that's non-fire related done. But what I'm saying is remember you like finish the firehouse stuff first before you do anything else. Then if you've done your training for the day, you've put in your sweat equity and all that good stuff, and you want to go chill out on the recliner and do whatever on your computer, that's not absolutely go right ahead. But when you come into work and it's like, oof, all right, I'm gonna do this all day and not even touch a lick of hose or anything that's there to make yourself better. That's where the issue lies with me.
And a good kind of set of ways to do it is when you get there, get a training in, do a drill. It could be, yo, we're just pulling lines real quick, and that takes 30 minutes. Cool. Getting those reps in. Cool. I went out, I threw a ladder. It's gonna rain. Cool. I'm going out, I'm gonna throw a couple ladders, I'm gonna put them away, it's gonna start raining. I'm gonna get a workout in, and then I'm gonna You get a training done, you get a workout in, you take a shower, and then you start studying your SOPs, SOGs, just one of them. If you have one for high rise, like dive into the high rise, study that for a day. Who cares, right? You're getting better at your job by doing so. Or start if you do a lot of EMS, study your medical protocols, just one. You can look over HR documents and how you can become better understanding, like, hey, if someone gets hurt, this is what we need to do. But by taking one, by doing one like training and then a workout and a protocol and a SOP, SOG, that could take you at most 4 hours. And you just did a ton more. And you focus on your skill at the job. You focus on your well-being and your physical fitness. You focus on your mental clarity with the job performance and what you need to do and your know-how. So you just hit all these different aspects before lunch. Now you want to go kick up and chill? Cool. Have at it.
Let's realistic training on a small budget, man. So I want to hear what do you like to do? Like, if you're on shift today and you want to get some reps in, like how do you kind of come up with something that's not a crazy scenario, but like an easy drill that anybody can do?
I like to. Well, one, if you're out riding around, know your area, know what buildings are vacant or about to get torn down, and pull lines. But don't set up to pull straight to the door. Set up to where there's objects in the way, right? I built a window prop to where crews could we can put the window prop into like a burn building or a training tower. And it's just cutting the lumber the right size, and you can pop it in, secure it. You can take a piece of pallet, slide it through the middle slot, and you break it out. And you can get all those materials from job sites. They have scrap, and you can be like, yo, can I grab some things out of the dumpster? And they're like, yeah, we don't care. We pay for this to get taken away. So the less there is, the more we can put in there, and the less money we got to spend. And so just being very open-minded on how to like what are the actual skills that need to be done on firegrounds. And by going to fires, you learn like, yo, it's not all this complex stuff. It's throwing ladders, but having bushes and a fence to go over to get to the place where you need to throw ladders. So putting objects in the way to where, yeah, you gotta throw the ladder over, you gotta hop the fence. And then put it up. And it's nothing, it's really nothing crazy. Pallets are great because you can build a lot of obstacles for pulling lines to actual doors. And so that's kind of the training I like to focus on.
Okay. And oh, yeah, what's up?
We take a quick break. I
Yeah,
just got
sure.
to piss real quick.
Oh, yeah, you're good. You're good. Go
I drink a lot.
ahead.
Much better.
Awesome.
Now I will have mental clarity.
Okay, you're good. You're good. I was going to ask, let's hit on leadership, man. Whether company officer or chief officer, let's, you know, it's a very hot topic in the fire service. So what makes a leader, like in your opinion, like what do you look for and vice versa? What do you strive for if you see yourself becoming, well, you have been a leader, so what do you look at as a leader?
A lot of people like to say, hey, I'm wearing a different color shirt than you. You have to listen to what I say, right? That's what everyone says. And I'm pretty sure people think that because I'm wearing a different colored shirt, now as a leader, I can do less work. I say, fuck that. You don't do less work. You have to do the same amount of work as your fucking firemen and your engineers, and you have to do more. Because you're never too good to, sweep a floor, check your own equipment. If your engineer or your fireman are checking your pack for you, like you're doing a disservice to the community and yourself and your crew. But it goes to little things. They check their own equipment out. They're not afraid to grab a broom. Instead of saying, hey guys, I need you to do this, you say, hey guys, can you guys give me a quick hand? By changing that wording, changes a whole perspective on how people look at you. By saying, I need you to do this, to, can you give me a hand? Now, are there times where multiple things need to get done? Yes. But you explain that. You say, hey, I'm working on this right now. You think you guys could knock this out for me? And if I get done before you're done, I'll come join you. I'll check on you and all that, right? And by doing stuff like that, it's not all the time that you're going to have multiple things to do at once. But if you're already doing the legwork of saying, hey guys, why don't you give me a hand? Then when you do have multiple things going on, like the guys respect you. And then by being open-minded, right? I already talked about the book, Good to Great. By being open-minded and willing to listen to other people, bring stuff to the table. Like, it's like, cool. Yeah, I can see how that works. Let's try it out. And I can tell you personally from Kentland, we would have people bring stuff to the table all the time. And we would check them all out. Why? Because if something can make us better, we want to do it. If it can make us quicker, we want to do it. We changed the hose lines from having a shoulder load and a just a dump load ear 12 years ago, maybe. Right? That's pretty recent. DC was doing it at the same time. There may be guys from Kentland and DC, and that those companies were all doing it, and but nonetheless, it's not about this is the way we do it. It's about this is the way we do it right now. How can we get better? How can we provide a better service? So if the guys bring something to the table, you then sit there and do the legwork, and you say, "All right, we really like this. Yeah, cool. Let's put something together. Let's make some quick videos. And then from there, I can write something up and present it. And if the department shoots us down, well, we did our part. But I'm not afraid to go to the masses if we found it works better."
I get it. I like it. It's one of those things I firmly believe in. When you move up to the ranks, That doesn't mean that's less work for you. That it means it's more work for you. I mean, because yes, me being a firefighter, I'm gonna have my faults. There's things that I'm going to fail at, but as the term goes, why do we learn to fall? It's so we could pick ourselves back up. But when you get into that leadership role and you are just like, well, I don't ever need to worry about pulling this line or knowing how to throw this ladder because that's not my job anymore. There will come a time where you're on a call and your firefighters are busy doing other things. And it's like, hey, I need this done real quick. Can you do it? Right there is going to be the time to, like, you need to know how to do it, not go, well, I've been officer for several years. It's not really my wheelhouse anymore. I don't do that type of thing. So, I like that. I like that viewpoint of, just because you're there doesn't mean you have to do less. Like, yeah, your firefighters need to be able to put in the work, but me being an officer, man, I want to put in a little bit more work than that than my firefighters. So, I love it. I love it.
And it'd be nice if, everyone thought. So I have this one saying that I learned by having my own business, but it's I want my ceiling to be everyone else's floor, right? So we're working together. I'm going to give you everything I can possibly give you. I don't want to take anything with me. So I want everything I know. I want you to have it. But I want that to kind of be your base. And then you also get information from elsewhere. And if more people thought that way and would do that, then we would have better organizations across the board. We'd be building other people up. But too many people are egotistical and they all want the power. They all want to beat their own chest and say, look at me, look at what I've done. Cool, that's what you did. What are you doing now? That still doesn't help you out.
Right.
But yeah, you have the experience of that, awesome. But you still need to move forward. And our job is to teach everyone in the fire service to get better and to be able to take our positions. So if I hold on to anything, how am I bettering the fire service, our
Exactly.
department, and the community that we are here to serve? I'm not.
Yeah, the hoarding of information. I never understood that. Give credit when credit's due to somebody that came up with an idea that's not yours. I never understood that, man. One question I got to ask for you, though, and you can answer it, if you want to or not. What do you say to the haters, man, to the critics, that
Who?
talk? Exactly.
No, cool, man. Everybody talks. What does that matter? Difference is, especially for the haters that hate Kentland. Kentland doesn't have a clue as to who the hell you are or what department you're a part of. Kentland is one firehouse at 7701 Lander Road in Lander, Maryland, and so many people know that single firehouse. Just like they know FDNY and any other bigger organizations. Years ago, we were one of the first ones to put out videos, well, a video on YouTube before YouTube videos were big. And the area goes to fires. They go to jacked up calls all the time. And it's kind of a marketing thing, but at the same time, we need membership, right? So we expose ourselves, we put ourselves out there. Now everyone wants to talk about, crashes and all that. Well, if you look at PG County and the whole entire area, Montgomery County, DC, you'll see that apparatus get hit all the damn time. Like PG County has a million people in it and it's, I don't know, 400 square miles. And half of that is kind of rural. But most of the people are inside the beltway. And I can promise you, they don't care about you. They don't. So what do you do with the haters? You just cool. Don't engage with them. Anytime anyone, if anyone on here ever has a hater, you don't engage. You just let them talk. Who the hell cares? Once you start engaging, you're letting down your wall, and they will eat you alive. People are talking because you're doing something right. End of story.
Love the advice. So I wanted to ask. I figured that'd be the answer because I mean I see it all the time. You know, they or you know, I've seen sometimes when they do reply, it's like the nicest gesture of, oh, fuck you, but we're gonna entertain this anyway. Hey, if you don't mind, if you could do better, come show us, come right along. You know what I mean? Like when you call them out on something, on like whether it's a skill that they're showing or some sort of technique, you know, it never fails. Keyboard warrior, man, they get behind their little keyboard, click, 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 send, and it's like, hey, put your money where your mouth is. Want if you could do better, come show us. And then you never hear anything. It's usually crickets.
End of story.
Love the advice. Let's talk about wellness and truly being there, man. You know, you talked about at one point in your life, you know, I think if it wasn't for your girlfriend at the time to go, hey, you need to let's move. Let's get out of 7701 Landover and let's go explore the world. So how important is that? Like how important is having family and support? You know, being because like obviously you know I could tell you love the fire service, so you know I said earlier you got to find that balance. So what does family mean to you?
All right, so family's everything, but I'm fortunate. I do have a great family. My wife's awesome as well. You know, like anyone, we've had our ups and downs, but you know, she's my best friend. And a strong support system is huge. Now, I want to put this out there for anyone listening. If you're battling any sort of mental health, alcoholism, anything, if you're like, yo, I'm drinking every day that I'm off, please reach out to me 100% because there are many teams out there and peer support teams where they're in many organizations, but most of the people that are part of them haven't been down a hallway, right?
Right.
So the people that are seeing the real shit, they don't want to talk to that person. They don't want to open up. I will be there for anyone that I can be at any time. Please find me on Instagram, whatever. Facebook does not matter, right? Find me, hit me up. Now, the wellness, the being there for someone when they're needed, right? It is about the support system, but if you don't have a support system at home or you think you do and they're not being there, well, they probably just don't understand. And there's a lot of people who don't understand what we're dealing with. Are we going to fires every single day? I'm not. I wish I was again, and but I'm not. But there are, as I'm getting older, you know, there are calls that I'm running. I'm like, oh, well, this I'm feeling a lot different from this call than I did when I was 22 years old, right? And there's a lot of people that deal with mental health that. Everything was completely fine throughout most of their career. Now, at the end of the career, everything's catching up. They're diving into alcohol more or any other drugs, and it's really affecting them and their families. Listen, we want to stay away from that, but you need a support system. And if you don't have a support system, I'm talking with a couple other firemen that, you know, they've gone down the alcohol route and suicidal route and we're trying to get like-minded individuals together to help others out as well, right? Because it's huge. And you know, if you're married, you have kids, let's be real, the wife deals with a lot
Oh,
already.
yeah,
Prior
absolutely.
to being a mother is astounding, right? What they do is truly amazing. But then, if you come home with a whole lot on your plate and you let it all out to her, She don't know how to deal with it,
Mm-hmm.
right? So being able to, especially in house, like understanding your people and seeing their emotions and how some days are better than others. Now, those other days, what's happening? Or is it just that like they didn't get a whole lot of sleep because they have a newborn? Like there's a lot of things at bay. So the wellness of ourselves is paramount. Now, if you're having a bad day, Dozier put it out with the company also, I think yesterday, like go work out. Even if you can't physically get yourself mentally in that position to work out, find someone in the firehouse and say, "Hey man, let's go work out. I have no idea what to do. I have no idea what I want to do. I'm not doing well today. Beat the shit out of me. Let's get some sweat equity in," right? That will help your body relax. From there, cool, let's get a drill in. You're keeping your mind engaged, right? But then you're able to calm down some, and you might find that person in-house that you could talk to a little bit, or you might have someone else that you're able to connect with to be like, "Hey, I'm having a bad day today. Not sure what the fuck it is. This is what's been going on. I just need to talk about it." And a lot
Yes.
of times that's all it is, just like we run these medical calls, right? A lot of these people, some of them don't even need to go to the hospital. They're just older and don't have anyone to talk to. They just want to talk to somebody.
No, I agree. I mean, I wholeheartedly agree with that because, man, that was me yesterday. I was having a hell of a fucking day. And you know what? Luckily, I'm fortunate where I had some people I can call. Let it all out. They understood. And like at the end, it was like, woosah, take a deep breath and keep it moving. Like you gotta have those people. It is important to find people that you can talk to. That is 100%. I don't see any other way to put it. Like find somebody in your corner. Cause here's the messed up thing. Not yesterday, but the day before. I subscribed to Billy G's email on the secret list, and he put out, unfortunately, there was a St. John's firefighter who was involved in a murder suicide, right? So I read the article, and like I went on Facebook. I won't say the name, so that way, like if you subscribe, then you know what I'm talking about. But I looked up the name of the individual on Facebook and I went on their page. Of course, you know, the person's no longer, they're deceased, they're no longer here, but people were actually writing messages like, man, I like one of them I'm paraphrasing, but one of them was like, I couldn't see the fact that you got to this point where you did what you did. And like I started thinking about it, and it's like, how bad did it get for the individual to feel like that was the only viable option? Like, you know, unfortunately he shot his wife and then he shot himself, but then he left like four young kids, man. And when you think about the fire service, like what we do, we're there to help, but it's like, damn, like did individuals miss the sign? Did people not see like he was acting a little different? But like the biggest thing is what gets you to that point? So like for me, when I get frustrated, because I am passionate about when I go into work, like to be into the job, and I get pissed off that people don't see it that way, like you gotta find an outlet before you, like, I don't ever want to cross that line. I don't ever want to have that thought in my head of, well, what if I just end it? You know what I'm saying?
Okay. And you know, it might take you a while to find the right people, but if there's people that are listening to this, like I said, I'm sure your phone is open. They can contact you. I know mine is. They can contact me. But and then from there, we can find that common ground, find people maybe locally, but you're still 100% there for them. I know I personally have guys up and down the East Coast that I talk to, some about certain things and others about others, right? And You don't want to put all your eggs in one basket. You want to spread them out because you got to think we all are human. We all got so much going on in our lives. You can only add so much more.
Absolutely.
And by fielding out your people over time, I am 37. I've been in contact with a lot of people, so I've been able to fill out my people. And when you're 20 some years old, you might not have that group of people, or you might have just been in one department. But understand that there are so many people out here that you don't even know that would bend over backwards for you to try and get you the help that you need. And a lot of times you might not even need, you might not even know the type of help you need. You just need to talk.
Right.
By talking, then someone might be able to point you in the right direction, whether you want it or not. But the biggest thing is, be honest with yourself. And that's the biggest thing. Be honest with yourself and find that route that you need to go to get you better. And so let's look at it this way, right? All right, so let's talk. Many times people run medical calls with people who they take medicine for certain things, right? But then they are feeling better. And so they stop taking their medicine. And now they call 911 because they're not feeling well, because they're not taking their medicine that they're prescribed, that they're taking that made them feel better, right? So they have that thing to make them feel better, but they're not honest with themselves, understanding that that medicine makes them feel better. So then they get sick again when all they had to do was keep taking their medicine and they'd be feeling great all the time.
Right.
But people want to sit there and say, well, I don't need medicine. I don't need help. Be honest with yourself. There are things that it could just be a simple sentence that someone needs to say to you, and you're like, oh, that makes sense now. You don't know what type of help you need till you need it. And you're not going to know it until you're talking to someone about it, and then they're like, you need this, this, and this. Here's what we're going to do.
Love it. Love the message. Something that firemen tend to not want to talk about, shy away from, I don't have feelings, or get out of your feelings, or I don't cry, and all this other fucking jazz and whatever malarkey. But no, it's one of those things, man. There's gonna be a point of there's gonna be a time in your life where shit's gonna get dark. And hopefully you have the right people. Hopefully you have people that are there. Hopefully you weren't a fucking dick to everybody, and where all of a sudden it's like, oh, well, he needs help. Well, I mean, he pushed everybody. You know what I mean? Like you gotta remember that. Everything comes back full circle for sure.
Now, if you were a dick and you were young and you're getting older, recognize that you're young, dumb, full of cum, right?
Right.
We're all dicks, we're all immature.
Exactly.
And we get older, and we get older through experiences as well. And so you can be honest and say, yo, I'm sorry, I was a fucking dick, but I loved what you were doing. And make ends meet, right? Just, hey, I want to let you know that you did a lot for me when I was young. I respect it greatly. I'm sorry. I was a complete dick, asshole. You guys tried to tell me I was fucking up and I didn't want to listen because I was young and dumb. And just, again, own it.
We all go through it. I mean, I know I've been there, and it's crazy too. Like you just, I think back, or I'll get someone that I haven't seen in a while, and they're like, "Man, you've changed, and changed for the better. Like you want to, as you progress in age, you want, at least for me, you want to change toward the positive, especially when you bring kids in. Like I have a daughter, and I'm going to be upfront with her when she gets old enough to understand. Like, yeah, back in high school, man, you couldn't tell me nothing. Teachers were always like, hey, here's what the main things teachers always told my parents anytime they had to come to school. Smart young boy needs to apply himself, needs to calm down. Like I get it. I was there, So I will hopefully be able to tell her, like, hey, listen, I've been in your shoes-ish in a way. Like, this is what you need to do. This is who you need to surround yourself with. But with that being said, man, I thank you for taking some time out of your day to come on here and talk shop. I know you mentioned earlier how like my introduction to you kind of was like, what the fuck? But like, I didn't mean, and you know, I'm just giving you hell back, but you know, I should have worded it better, where it was like, oh, because when you reply back and you're like, bro, number one, I'm still there, and I'm like, oh, okay, cool, man. Like, you know, nothing by it, but
nothing at all, man. Like,
but no,
it was
I seriously appreciate you, man. Like, just taking the time, accepting an invite from somebody. You're like, who the fuck's this guy? But like, oh, well, he knows a couple of dudes, so blah blah blah, but. Thanks, seriously, man. Thank you for coming on and sharing your story. It's not easy being vulnerable and opening up and talking about things that you talked about. A lot of people want to kind of keep that skeleton in the closet, man, but we need more people like you.
My wife's not a real fan about me being so open about it, but if I'm not open about it, who the hell is going to be?
Right.
I've definitely, especially mental health and fucking and alcoholism and shit, like that's something I've had a tough time with. Definitely in a much better spot now. But with alcoholism, I tell everyone, man, it's like Pringles for me, right? Once I pop, I just don't stop. I have one, and one turns into six, and that six is in a half hour because it's just going down like water. But being able to help others through those times is awesome, even if I'm just someone that they just talk to real quick. It's definitely something I enjoy talking about. I'm kind of working on a whole class talking about dark hallways, and we're not talking about fires, so.
Awesome. No, and that's what, like we talked about earlier, man. Fire service is a great thing. Trust me. Love pushing down a hallway, throwing ladders, going to a confirmed job. Like, that's what we live for. But we can't let that be our leg. You know what I mean? Like, we can't let that be our legacy. Like I want to be known if I'm fortunate to see retirement for them to go, yeah, Dan, yeah, man, he was a jam up fireman. Good dude. But after that, like, I want my daughter to be like, well, he was a good dad, not just a good fireman, but a shit dad. And or my wife to go, yeah, from what I've heard, he's a great fireman, but he was a shitty husband. You know what I'm saying? Like, you gotta find, and we wanna be good at it all, but you gotta prioritize it.
Yep, my kids, my wife, number one. Then it's work, and now, you had on here schedules. I went from 24/48 schedule to 48/96, and I can tell you that is amazing.
The 4896.
Oh my goodness, dude,
Okay.
absolutely amazing. So.
So, well, here's my question, because I know a lot of people are gonna kind of be like, well, ask. So you've worked the 2448. I'm sure when you first heard or saw, like, damn, 2 days in a row, is it really that bad? Because from what I understand, anybody that has left and gone to 48 is like, fuck going back to 2448.
So how many people that are asking also pick up overtime? How
Okay,
many people are
so
you?
I will say, I don't know about the overtime, but I will say a good majority of guys that I know work another job. So, you know, we could put that work another part-time firefighter
Okay,
job.
work another job, right? You work 4 days. You work 2 days. Then you have 4 days off. Now, again, this kind of goes with the fire department culture. If you're a culture of the organization and your chiefs and, high up personnel who want you to be up and on your feet at 7 a.m. doing busy work nonstop in a polo till 5 o'clock, and you're not able to sit down till 5 o'clock or use a computer to put calls or reports or, online training, you're not allowed to do any of that till after 5 o'clock in the evening, which I worked for an organization like that. If you have an organization like that, doesn't matter what schedule you have, it's going to suck. But if you have an organization that recognizes, hey, you guys are here 48 hours, you guys are going to run calls, you guys might run a bunch of calls overnight. If you run a bunch of calls overnight, you're probably going to sleep in a little bit. Cool. Now, this is where prep work comes in. Hey, on our second day, we already know we got this other stuff going on. So we got to be up. We got to be there at 10 o'clock in the morning. Cool. So if we sleep till 8:30, everybody wake up. If you want to take a shower, cool. You want to get a workout in, cool. Eat some breakfast prior to us going out there to be at whatever at 10 a.m. Right? But you have to know about it. And it's not just the boss needs to know. You got to let everyone in that company know. No. Even on day one, it's like, hey guys, hey, let's get together real quick. Today we got this, and this going on. Maybe we can get a workout in around this time, but we should be done everything by 2, 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And then it's kind of our day. And then that's when we'll get a workout in and all that. Cool. And tomorrow we got this and this going on. Don't really need to do a whole lot. Cool. So if you build a firehouse culture around that, you will empower your people to want to do better because it's a relaxed atmosphere. Now they'll be training and working out and getting better and to provide a quality service to the citizens that we are there to serve. Again, if we go back to a department that wants you to wear a polo each hour of the day, and it's the worst polo in the world, it's not a comfortable polo, and they don't want you to sit down at all. They don't want you to, sit down around the table at lunch for more than 10 minutes, and they want you to be on your feet. Whether you work 24 or 48 hours, it sucks. It does not matter. So now you work 48 hours dealing with that bullshit, but now you're off, right? You're off for 4 days. You work the 24, 48. When you get off in the morning, you're not even off for
You're
four
not even
full
off.
48 hours.
Exactly.
You have you might get say you get off at 7 o'clock in the morning, right? Cool. That's shift change. You don't get out of there till 7:30. Well, now you're 30 minutes in. Now you got a 20-minute, 30-minute, 2-hour commute like I got. You have that time, right? But you're also actually rushing to your part-time job. That's like a full-time job. And then when you get home at night, you're spent. Like you're spent on your first day off, no matter what. It does not matter what schedule you work. You work 24, 48, 48, 96, 24, 72. 24, 72 is king. It is king, but many governments don't want that fourth shift because they have to hire a lot of
They gotta
people.
hire.
They already struggle to get us like a 3% raise. Okay. So, yes, 24/72 to anyone listening. Yes, you got the best schedule. Aside from that, the 48/96, now, first day off, I'm going to go work, but I'm already spent, but I'm working because now I'm staying busy. So, I'm not going to just want to go home and go to sleep. Day two, I might be about 50%, 60%, right? Take me a while to get out of bed, but I might have a part-time job to get to. But I'm still about 50, 60, maybe 70%, depending on how wore out I was. Well, now you're going back to work with those 24/48, right? And you might be at 100%, but you're probably not. On the 48/96, my day three, I'm batting around 90 to 100%. I still have a whole nother day off.
No, one more day.
Now, if I have a part-time job, now I do work a part-time job. I'm not afraid to say I do work on a private ambulance. It helps. It's around my family's schedule really well, and it pays pretty well. But I'm even able to go to that and work hours there and still be happy as hell and still recover more than enough to go back to work. Like I go back to work tomorrow. I worked 24 hours on a private ambulance. I did a bunch of stuff yesterday, bunch of stuff the day before yesterday. Like, and today we're knocking this out. I got a couple other things I got to do. And my mental clarity is amazing. My family sees it. My kids see it. I have a lot more time home with my family. My wife absolutely loves it. Is the 48 tough on a mother? 100%. Now I'm also home for multiple days in a row, and I'm not completely grumpy the entire time compared to a lot of us that were on the 24/48. And again, there are many people who either work second jobs or they pick up overtime on the 24/48. So they're not even off for a full
They're
24
not.
hours.
They're not.
They might have 22, about 22 hours off. So I say 22 hours off because say they get into work a half hour early, and they have a half hour drive time. That's an hour, right? So they leave for work an hour before they're supposed to have shift change. They got off. They got out the door probably about 15, 30 minutes later, and then they still had that half hour drive home. So that's a whole nother hour. So they only have 22 hours off. They don't get a good night's rest. They don't get to actually relax. So yes, 48.96. It's awesome.
Okay.
I'm not going back to 24/48 at all.
Hey, I had to ask, and I'm sure if any of my coworkers listen to this, they're like, "Oh fuck, he's stirring the pot." I'm not stirring up anything. I am legitimately asking you that you've worked the 24/48 and now you are on the 48/96, what your thoughts are. Because I mean, I'm not gonna lie, I was kind of apprehensive at first, like, man, 2 days in a row at work. But then, like, everybody I spoke to, like, bro, I'm telling you, you're 4 days off. Like, I'm fortunate where I don't work a part-time job anymore. Like, I come home and I do like husbandly duties and shit like that for my wife. So, like, I'm fortunate where back in the day, yeah, I used to work part. I had two part-time jobs on top of my full-time job back in the day. But I'm fortunately, I don't have to do that anymore.
I do know that the North Charleston Fire Department, right, they switched to it. And when they went to vote on if they were going to keep it or go back to 24/48, they had almost a 95% yes to keeping the 48/96 schedule. I met a bunch of guys who retired down to the South and they worked for a bunch of different departments up north. They all work 24/48, and they're like, I would never go back to 24/48. I have so much time off on a 48/96. But it goes back to the mindsets, right?
Absolutely.
A lot of people are like, oh, I don't want to do it. I don't want to change. Just the way we've always done it. I'm used to this.
Absolutely right.
You know what? We didn't have automobiles before, but now we are riding in automobiles. We don't have horse and buggy. Like that shit's gone. And there are people that would not want the automobile. But guess what we have now? Horses are on farms and in cowboy towns, and they'll ride their horses in town. Cool. But they're not pulling fire apparatus. End of story. And we make the changes. We make the change for the better. So if we're worrying about mental health in the fire service, will allow your people to have the time off to fully recover mentally and physically. You don't know what any single person is thinking. You have no idea how they are feeling after a workout, except if everyone's laid out on the pad. Like, cool, yeah, we're all spent, but someone's going to recover better than the other. Someone's not going to be able to move in the morning while other people are fucking running around, right? But now, what happens to the mental sake? And the mental stuff is something that no one wants to talk about because they're afraid. They don't want to be the ones that, oh, look, you need to see a shrink or something.
No, yeah,
You
you don't want to
need
look
someone
weak.
from the hug team to give him a hug, right? Now, I've been a part of a hug team. Yeah, I'll give you a hug. Fuck it, right? But having that, those 4 days off, even if I work 24 hours on a private ambulance. Say I work, so then it's essentially 72 hours, right?
72, right?
Still have 72 hours off.
Right.
Like, dude, it's wow.
Okay. Well, for all those that may or may not be a part of my organization, you heard it first from a man that's experienced it. So Yeah. I mean, I'm all for making the troops happy, making them better. I mean, you don't want tired firemen. And I know the whole thing of, well, we can't control what you do on your off days, blah, blah, blah. But when you come into work, you need to be prepared. Okay. I don't know what world you live in, but some people work for a living, actually have to work multiple jobs to provide for their families. And yeah, you don't know the shit that they're going through, and a different schedule might change the attitude for the better. So I appreciate you sharing that information, and I really appreciate you coming on, man, and definitely talking shop, spreading the good word that it's okay to care about the fire service. Appreciate it, Tim, very much.
Of course, brother. I appreciate you. Thank you for having me. And I look
Definitely.
forward to doing this again sometime.
Yeah, definitely. I could do a part two, no problem.
All
All right, pal.
right, buddy.
If any of the listeners out there are or know of a great firefighter who embodies the principles of being a great communicator, goal-oriented, hardworking, humble, passionate, and professional, regardless of rank, career, or volunteer, contact me at studentofthegamefirepodcast@gmail.com. Until next time, stay focused, stay committed, and stay safe.